Welcome to System Mastery, the podcast where we beat a virtual horse 1d6 cyber damage at a time. Folks, I've got terrible news for you. It seems the war for virtual reality has begun, so it's time to draw your battle lines. Will you simply close your eyes and walk away, or will you engage in the war for all 90s-style computers? It's the Lawnmower Man role-playing game, as we keep it on theme for an exciting week of System Mastery branded content. So let's get started in this entirely too technical game right here on System Mastery. Hey, welcome to System Mastery. It's me, your host, Jeff, the guy who does this show with the other guy, John, who's over there.
Yep.
Yep, that's us.
Yep.
And I am once again remembering I need to take my headphones off.
Yep.
It really screws up my flow for some reason to have them on. I don't know what that is.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it makes me too loud. I don't know.
I don't know.
Something, but it's not good, so I'm taking them off.
That's good.
How you doing? Well, I'm genuinely curious. We always start with the how you doings type stuff.
We always start with it.
People got to know.
People need to know
what
how
if
I'm
you
doing.
Died between the episodes?
Well, then they would need to know that I was doing
poorly.
Yeah, no, I have an ear infection, I think.
Oh, well, that's
my
not
ears
good.
All fucked up.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it infected or did you just hit it really hard with like a big rock or something? Did you try and put a pencil in there?
Yeah, no. Killer Croc almost got me.
Because, you know, I hear my ears fucked up, and I'm like, well, yeah, Rocky Balboa's ears are pretty fucked up, but I don't think he's got an infection. I think he's just gets punched a lot.
Yeah, that's why I didn't say my ears are all fucked up. I said, I got an ear infection.
I think that when we wind back the tape, because, of course, we record this show on reel-to-reel tape.
Yes.
That's a document. We do it analog, old school style here.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. We have a booth. There's two guys over there in the booth.
Well, ever since we watched Lawnmower Man, we don't trust computers anymore.
Absolutely not. What if the Cyber Job gets me?
Ah, the Cyber Job.
I mean, he mostly just wants to escape and make all the phones ring, as far as I can tell. But
as far as I can tell,
he might get us.
He's mostly in VR, so as long as we don't care about that.
What do you mean you got Cyber Jobed? Just close your eyes.
Like, just walk away.
So, yeah, we decided to make it a Lawnmower Man week. Unfortunately, we don't have any video game review shows, or else we could also do a Lawnmower Man video game, because there were several.
Yeah, well.
But, you know, we don't have that show, so, sorry.
We don't do that.
You'll have to imagine that we did one of those.
Imagine we put out yet another show.
Yeah. Is there a Lawnmower Man board game that we also can't do?
No. God, I wish there was.
Well, anyway, so glad to hear you're doing well. And I am
yeah, even though I did not say that at all.
Oh, that's right. You just said that you're poorly and you have an ear infection.
Yeah.
You're right. Sorry.
Well, I'm glad I wasn't listening to you anyway. So
I was listening. It's just that you're supposed to say you're doing fine. That's the social contract.
Yeah.
It's not my fault you're going off script.
Look, you said you wanted to know how I was doing. Now you're going to find out.
I don't want to know how you're doing. The people want to know how you're doing, and they want you to be doing fine.
That's what the people want. The people want the blandest, most banal content possible.
Yeah, they want to hear you go, I'm fine. How are you?
They want me to just be okay, but I'm not okay.
I'm mad as hell. Hey, let me ask you this. Are you going to take it anymore?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm just going to roll over like a like a dog, let him rub my belly.
So if you're not doing fine, then how you doing?
How dare you?
What? What did I do?
How dare you?
Easily. And by the way, I'm doing fine. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, I don't care. That's why I didn't ask.
The people. Think of the people.
I'm thinking of the people.
So Lawnmower Man.
Lawnmower Man.
What I did not expect, and we got this as a gift from a listener a long time ago, and it's awesome because not only did we get the book, but it came with all the miniatures ever made for this game.
Yeah.
Which is a really interesting set of miniatures, if you like the movies a great deal. Not so much if you want to use them for this book.
Yeah, there's a part of the book where they're like, hey, if you want to do this, like, hex grid style combat with minis, you can do that. And the game put out two boxes of minis, but it's just all the characters from the movies.
Yeah.
And none of the characters from the movies are part of this game.
Yeah, I mean, Cyber Job fundamentally is part of this game.
Yeah, but he's... Cyber Job isn't a figure.
No, it is. He's in there.
No, there's Job in his suit.
Oh, I guess that's the closest thing you're going to get to Cyber Job, yeah. Cyber Job, where he's all looking like a like Andross, and he's menacing Star Fox, and
the
big brown poop Andross just like, hey, let me out from the end of the movie.
Yeah, no, we don't have Cyber Job, who looks like he's coming straight out of the corn area.
Yeah, but Lord knows that means I've got a bunch of miniatures of such exciting characters as Dr. Lawrence Angelo, the chimp
Carla.
For the first 2 minutes of the movie, Roscoe 1138,
yeah,
Marnie, you name it.
Hell yeah.
Tim's.
A fucking lawnmower, the titular lawnmower.
Yeah, Big Red, the lawnmower from the film.
Yeah, you know, from the film. The lawnmower, comma, man.
I'm the title lawnmower, man. I'm played by Jeff Fahey. A lot of prosthetics. You'd think it's Jared Leto in there.
I mean, there is that one scene where he mows a dude's mind and he is a lawnmower himself.
That is true. He opens up his mouth to reveal a lawnmower within. And don't we all have a lawnmower within?
Yeah, if anyone is confused as to what the fuck we're talking about, go listen to the movie Mastery episode we just did on the Lawnmower Man movie.
Yes, which I thought would be a good idea to watch before we reviewed this, largely because the book, even though it doesn't look all that imposing, it's pretty small, it's Leading Edge Games.
Which you might know as Phoenix Command or Living Steel, which we have reviewed.
Yes, and they have a house style. And that house style is
early 90s.
It's not just early 90s. They kind of set the standard for too many charts and, you know, realism, but only when it comes to bullets.
Yeah, well.
They kind of have a thing where, like, Venus Command is famous for it, where there's all these things for, like, wind speed indicators and gravity that you have to measure when you fire a gun at someone to see where the bullet actually hits them.
Yeah, God, I have to say, very pleased that although this game is just an absolute mess of charts and dumb garbage, it at least is not as, like, serious about its stuff as it could be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, at least the fact that it's a Lawnmower Man RPG, they were like, well, we're still going to make it so that there's giant charts that you'll always have to reference for everything, but you don't have to worry about, like, what the wind is and shit like that.
Yeah, it's not that bad. They mentioned at the beginning of the book that this book is using the exact same engine and compatible with all the other movie licenses that they have purchased and made role-playing games out of. And I don't know what any of those are.
No, man, they have a part in there where they say how to make this in Phoenix Command and Living Steel.
Oh, okay, that's fair. But there is a section towards the very beginning that's like, hey, this uses the same rules as any other movie license game that we have purchased in the past, so if you want to mix this in with whatever other movie we purchased and then promptly ignored to do our own thing, you totally can.
Great.
I'm guessing it's just more like early 90s stuff. Maybe they got like a Stand By Me in there. Maybe they bought the Home Alone license.
Yeah, they've got the My Girl RPG.
It's all Macaulay Culkin stuff. They got Uncle Buck.
3,000 bees. In New York City, New Jersey.
How many bullets can this one giant pancake absorb?
Well, let me tell you.
Let's find out.
Its glance rating is plus 12.
So the game starts by letting us know that you will play as a character and his three support characters.
Yeah. They allow for, if they're like, oh, you can if you want to just make your group of role players be the one team that you have.
Yes.
But the idea is that every player is their own team.
Their own thing.
So you have one primary character and then three supporting characters, and it's like, yeah, I've got my own research team or my own combat team or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then you kind of like group up with the other people occasionally.
Mm-hmm. And this is referenced directly in the movie The Lawnmower Man, where... No, it isn't. There's nothing like that anywhere in The Lawnmower Man. No one leads a team.
Nah.
It's one rogue scientist training one weird dude to become one supervillain.
Yeah.
The movie didn't have the budget for teams.
We ain't got team budget.
This doesn't have regular dudes who appear on teams type of money. They ain't got Ving Rhames money. Guy's on lots of teams.
He's on a lot of teams.
He's like Wolverine, but in real life.
Yeah.
Or real life of cinema.
He's the real Wolverine life of fake life.
Where Wolverine, of course, is famously real.
Yeah.
He's like the Wolverine of Second Life.
Where the Wolverine is famously real and a man.
And a Wolverine.
And real.
Yes.
And my friend.
So first you make a team. Now, stats in this game are ostensibly 3d6 down the line for a set of stats, which are strength, intelligence, will, health, and agility. And then there's four secondaries that derive from that.
Now, you roll 3d6 twice, take the best for each stat.
Yes, or, and this is one of my favorite early things in the game, you can do that, roll 3d6 twice, take highest for each of the five stats, or you can take the non-random method, the building method. There are two methods, and they're called building and random.
Yep.
Random, we just told you. Building is, you get a set of points, I believe it's 54, plus the sum of four dice.
Yep, you get 46 plus... sum.
So the building method is really the less random method.
Yeah.
Where they're still random, but it's less random.
Although, I gotta tell you, there's... it's interesting to me because you'd think, like, oh, you should probably do the building method, but man, both of them are so ridiculously swingy, and a couple of the stats are so important.
Yes.
That you almost have to go into the building method just because you're like, your intelligence in this game counts for so much.
Yeah, if you don't have intelligence, you're never going to, because the game uses random rolls for skill get. Like, if you want to get a skill in it, you always have to roll your, like, learning plus intelligence. And
it's intelligence plus motivation. It gives you your learning role.
Thank you. Learning role is made out of intelligence plus motivation. I apologize. John's had the book for the past couple of days.
Yeah.
But if you don't have any intelligence to help build that stat, you're never going to get any skills.
Intelligence also gives you how many actions per round you get.
Mm-hmm.
It really governs a lot of very important features in this game.
Yeah.
And if you happen to be like, I rolled 3d6 twice and fucked it up on both, you're like, well, this character is pointless.
Yeah, I mean, technically any stat between 3 and 12 is listed as equal, as in, like, it doesn't really matter what you roll in there.
But that's not true.
It just means it's bad.
Because the charts are like, if you got generally most things between 7 and 12 or 7 and 13 don't really do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But below 7, you just start getting penalized a lot.
Yes.
And honestly, just having a low number for your learning role means you suck and will continue to suck.
Which is really weird when you consider the material that we're reading right now, isn't it?
Right?
We're like,
you're going to be real limited if you aren't smart to begin with.
If you don't start super smart, you might as well not play this Lawnmower Man game. Well, what about the whole, like, you can use VR to, like, the thing that happens in the movie, like, where you, you can use VR augmentation to become smart, even if your character isn't smart in the first place. Well, it uses the learning role, so you'll never make it.
Yeah, the fact that... You know what? I'll get into it when we get further into the skills in the system. The secondary characteristics, the motivation and will... And
charisma,
all,
leadership.
Charisma,
perception.
Leadership, yeah.
Yeah.
All that is just straight 3d6, mm-hmm. But you get, before you roll those stats... You roll 1d6 as a floating number that you can add on,
mm-hmm.
However you see fit to your various stats.
Yep.
So if you roll a 4, you could put, you know, 2 2s and something and so on.
Yeah.
But again, it's one of those things where you're like, yeah, but if I rolled a 1 for that and then I just rolled shitty for motivation, well, fuck.
Because again, motivation is part of that stupid learning role, which it's funny to me that this game is so... an attempt at realistic, and yet the only way to get any skill at all is to roll low, and the game does the thing. This thing I hate, we've talked about this thing I hate before, where they keep putting in examples in gameplay of character design, and everyone keeps rolling fire all the time, because that's a lot easier than fixing the fucking broken-ass game.
Yeah.
Where they're like, this character has a 19% chance to learn anything. Anyway, he rolls a 6, this is on percentile, he rolls a 6, a 3... a 17, an 8, and a 14. And I'm like, fuck you. No, he didn't.
Yeah, the way the learning in this works,
mm-hmm.
is, so you take your intelligence and motivation, which is going to be, you know, anywhere from like 6 to what, 36?
36, yeah.
And whenever you go to learn something you don't know, mm-hmm. so you have no training in it, you roll on your learning roll. If you succeed, then you are certified. If you fail, then you're still a novice. You yes. go up to level 1. So at least at the beginning, if you're just trying to get a skill, you can't completely fail out of getting the skill at all.
Yeah.
And, but from that point forward, you can just fail to ever get better.
Yes. And I believe with starting skills, you get 2 learning rolls. And if you succeed at one of the 2, you go to certified. And if you can succeed at both, you go to like professional.
No.
Maybe it's not all of them, though.
No. So when you're doing the skills, you roll your background. Background is going to be, you know, you might get something like your military, so mm-hmm. you're special forces, or you're a police detective, or you might end up being just like a student or a professor.
Or maybe even a VR researcher, because this game's about VR?
Yeah, there's 2 VR classes. You could be a VR scientist, or you could be a VR test subject.
Mm-hmm. And then there's a couple that are like jobs that you have after other jobs. They're like, if you roll really high on this one chart, you can be like, well, I'm a private investigator now, which means I get all these private investigator skills, plus this is my second life. So I have a whole other job I get to roll on and check to see if I have those skills too.
Yeah. So private investigator and mercenary are the ones where you get to roll twice.
Yeah.
And
also just roll twice.
Yes. And then there's the 100. The 99.
Yeah.
Because this game goes 0 to 99 or 0 to 9 on its D10s mm-hmm. instead of 1 to 10. But if you roll 99, then you get to roll twice and get all of the skills from both jobs you pick,
mm-hmm.
which is nonsense.
Yeah.
Because the mercenary and the private investigator give you like 3 extra skills. It's like, you get one more chance to learn something from weapons.
Yeah.
You get one more chance to learn something from military. You're like, okay, that's fine. It's just a little bit extra.
Yeah.
But the roll twice is like, I get 2 full characters worth of skills.
On my one character. It's a real shame I rolled that terrible intelligence and motivation.
Yeah.
My character's been a police officer and a VR researcher, and he's terrible at both.
The ability to do stuff in there, like I mentioned, when you're rolling for a skill, you either, if you're going from untrained, which nobody starts with anything trained.
Yes.
So you roll, and if you succeed, great, you get it certified. Otherwise, you're a novice, because there's a bunch of levels that go from novice up to grandmaster.
Yeah, there's 5 ranks for every skill. It's like novice, certified, professional, expert,
master, grandmaster.
Grandmaster, yeah.
And if you, for any of the various ones, they'll usually come with a single thing
mm-hmm.
that you have at a better version. So it'll be like, you can pick 1 skill from a category and you roll, and instead of being novice or certified, you'll be professional or expert.
Yes, yes.
So for example, or certified professional.
Yeah, if you roll super, super low or early on, get like a 7 on your roll for what your skill chart is, you're going to be mechanized infantry.
Yep.
Which makes it sound like you're playing fucking Starship Troopers and not, again, Lawnmower Man. But we'll get into why that is in a bit. And in that case, you get 3 personal combat skills plus 1 personal combat skill that you have a chance to have at professional or expert. Do you actually have it at professional or expert? No, you just get more rolls to see if you learn it at all.
Well, no, you just get to roll and either get it at professional or expert like you would have with the novice or certified.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, the problem with a lot of things for this is when you want to level up any of your skills, like, you know, Jeff was saying, you get 3 combat skills plus 1 is either professional or expert. You're like, all right, 1 thing I am good at. The rest of them, if I fail my initial roll, I'm going to start at novice.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have to spend extra skill rolls. Like if I use 1 of my 3 and I go, I'm a novice. All right, I'll use the second one to try and raise that up. No, I failed. Nothing happens. I get nothing. I wasted that roll. Okay, I'll try it again. Failed again. Fuck you. You get nothing. Good day, sir.
And keep in mind that the chance we're talking about right now tops out if you happen to roll 18s in both your intelligence and your motivation, tops out at 36%.
Yeah. Most likely, you're going to be around
22.
20 to 24.
Yeah, somewhere in there, where three chances is still a pretty solid shot of nothing.
Yeah. So it's very easy to, in this game, just be like, all right, I make a character, and if I'm not in one of the categories where I auto get something good, you'll be like, I guess I have two skills at novice and I lucked into one at certified.
Yeah.
Great. I'm kind of garbage at most things.
Now, to be fair, like the mechanized infantry class, we were only talking about they get three combat skills plus one at professional or expert, but then they also get five survival and recon skill rolls, two espionage and law skill rolls, three military equipment skill rolls, and then nothing in special training, nothing in science, nothing in virtual reality, and four in jobs and hobbies.
Yeah.
Note that jobbies. Virtual reality is like one entry by itself, but personal combat, survival and recon, military equipment, and special training are all their own categories.
Yep.
They really decide that this game, based on a Southern Gothic sweat-ass sexy horror movie, is going to be about the military.
Well, yes, because they've decided to go with, you're probably going to be fighting against either Cyber Job's various cyber cultists,
mm-hmm.
or the department, like the shop from the movie.
Yeah, VSI in the shop.
You're going to be fighting against their government assholes.
Yeah, so theoretically, what this really is more of a role-playing game based on a imagined sequel to
this takes place Lawnmower Man. After Lawnmower Man.
Now, notably, it does not take into account, of course it didn't, because the game came out in 1992, the actual sequel to Lawnmower Man. Which
also did not take into account the movie The Lawnmower
Man. No, not especially. the sequel to Lawnmower Man feels like it's very much a reset more than a continuation.
Yes.
Like, it starts with them finding Job alive on the street, and it's played by Matt Frewer now, but it's like, I'm out of the internet, but I might have to go back in horror of this.
You know how my body deflated and my head fell off? Don't worry, that didn't happen.
Well, it did, but when I got a new body, it was Matt Frewer.
I jumped into Matt Frewer's body. I just quantum leaped my way into Matt Frewer.
He's very susceptible to having virtual reality guys get into him ever since the Max Headroom series.
So yes, the skills in this are those levels, and the levels mean that you get a bonus or a penalty depending on your rating. So if you are untrained in a skill,
mm-hmm.
And you're trying to do something, the normal skill roll is a 3d6 roll under.
It's an old GURPSian 3d6 roll under.
And if you have, like, untrained, you're minus 8 to your target number,
mm-hmm.
so you're just probably gonna fucking fail.
Yeah.
Even getting to certified, two levels in, past novice.
Still minus 4.
Yeah, novice is minus 4, certified is just 0.
Yeah.
You have to get to professional before you start getting any sort of bonus, and going from certified to professional or professional to expert, you have to roll twice and succeed in both.
Yeah.
When you go to get them.
And if you're wondering, well, does that mean that your stats can get way up above 18 to accommodate the fact that you need to eventually beat having like a 33% chance of succeeding, and thus a 1 in 9 chance of getting a skill roll every time you spend your skill rolls to try and upgrade a skill? Technically, yes, you can raise your mental stats through extremely complicated VR training regimens that you can go through, but you won't be able to do them because they'll require you to have high-level rankings in VR skills. And also, you'll have to make a bunch of learning rolls for those to work, too.
And also, you're just not going to have those.
No, they're high-end. You got to steal them. You'll fail to use them when you try. And even if you succeed in using them, that just gives you skill rolls to fail at to learn the skills.
Yeah, it's interesting because they have this whole... There's an entire chapter on VR.
Yeah.
And there's a huge thing on, like, oh, you can learn all of these different things. Like, if you want to just get learning chances,
mm-hmm.
you get them much faster. So you're like, oh, I spent, you know, 4 hours in VR and I get a learning chance. And normally this would take like months of school in order to get a learning chance like this.
Yeah.
So it's way faster, but it's still not entirely likely.
Mm-hmm.
But they have two different ways to do it. And one of them is specifically Dr. Angelo's programs, which is their one nod to
the films existed. The film existed, yes.
Which is just that you have to be a low learning role in order to succeed at it. Because they're like, yeah, you know how it was stupid that this whole game is based on learning roles, and if you're not good at learning, you can't do the thing?
Yeah.
If you manage to find the reclusive Dr. Angelo, one person has these programs, and he can use them.
He can make you smart if you happen to roll low intelligence.
Great.
What a weird idea. I mean, I see you see that sometimes in D&D adventures where they're like, your party's going to meet insurmountable odds, but don't worry, Elminster shows up and clowns everybody and then makes fun of the party and then fucks off. But this one's more like Dr. Angelo's out there in the world somewhere. He's one NPC on a planet with billions of people. Go find him, I guess, if you...
Because also, the game isn't about him.
No, it's not. It's barely even about Job.
I mean...
Job's the big bad guy.
Yeah, he's one of the two main antagonists that you will face. Well, not really him much as his dudes.
No.
But at least he's part of it.
Yeah.
Dr. Angelo is just off in the world being like, well, I created the best way to teach people things, and you'll never hear from me again.
Well, he's really worried that, I think he's specifically worried that if he goes public that the shop will pick him up and like force him into service again. So he's got a good reason to be hiding.
Yeah. But that also means it's very unlikely that your group of chuds are going to find this guy.
Yeah. It's a weird idea, as opposed to being like, well, why don't we take the premise of the film and
make that the baseline?
Utilize that.
The exception.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't need to be the baseline. I don't think the game needs to be about playing as a group of like, you know, simple tortured gardeners living in
church gardeners.
Every one of you is obsessed with lawnmowers until the brief
mowers
shining
and
moment.
And mowers and hedgers and clippers and hedgers.
Where you're obsessed with cowboys for a couple of days. That's right about then, you'll throw away your comic books and become a warrior. It's very weird. And then meanwhile, the book consistently reinforces that, yes, this is the lawnmower man, because there's these big third page art or just stills from the movie that have captions that tell you what's happening at that point in the movie, which, believe me, as someone who read the book before seeing the movie, they're very confusing.
Well, I mean, if you picked up the Lawnmower Man RPG and had not watched the Lawnmower Man yet, that does feel like you would be confused.
One thing, I'm fairly certain, in fact, 100% certain, these are based on the theatrical release and not the director's cut, because there's some harsh language here that appears to have been omitted from the director's cut.
Yes. This came out in 93, a year after the movie came out.
So what we're seeing here is the character of Jake in some of the still images in this one, the mean gas station attendant, who in the movie is mean but kind of soulful a little bit, like the director's cut. And apparently in the theatrical cut, went full R-word on...
just a real piece of shit.
Just Job on multiple occasions. And also made fun of and referenced specific comic book characters.
Yes.
Which never gets mentioned in the director's cut.
Yeah, the theatrical release had, like, Job meet Roscoe at one point, and he is into Cybo Man, and so he mistakes the monkey for Cybo Man. Mm-hmm. There's this whole fucking thing that they just decided was real useless and got rid of in the director's cut.
Yeah, which I'm inclined to agree with, because none of that ape footage looked good.
No.
I can't imagine actually seeing him head on. Please note, I said ape correctly. John doesn't need any emails about how chimps aren't monkeys.
Meh.
Or maybe he needs a bunch of them. I don't know. One of those.
Meh. All monkeys are apes and apes are monkeys, and I don't care.
No, wrong.
Me. Seals and sea lions are interchangeable. Fuck you.
No.
That's right. I will destroy everything.
All they share is an order.
Yes, an order of fries, which they love.
Probably true.
Probably.
I mean, they're obligate carnivores, but still, they probably aren't going to turn down fries, especially.
I mean, no one's going to turn down some nice crispy fries.
Okay, so anyway, I just wanted to mention the stills in the book, because they just added to the confusion.
Yeah.
So, because a lot of the time they'll have nothing to do with what's happening.
Well, they go in movie order.
They go in movie order, and sometimes they line up. Like, there's parts in the skill section where it'll be like, this is the seduction of Marnie, right as you're learning about, like, what your personality skill score does or whatever. But then later it'll just lose track because it'll be, this book is ultimately a lot about military intelligence gathering, which there's very little of in the film.
Yes.
So there'll be these pictures of a priest being like set on digital fire. And then that page will be like, on the third day, you may attempt to gather intelligence as to the whereabouts of Dr. Watson, who might have escaped. And you're like, these things have nothing. Did they just put these stills in here because they had the license?
Yes, indeed.
What else do we want to talk about?
So, let's see.
Well, we were talking earlier about how it's a 3d6 roll under, and we talked about how the rank that you have in the individual skill will affect a benefit, like a bonus or penalty to that skill.
Uh-huh.
There is also a target number, and the target number is a variable based on the difficulty of the task as perceived by the game runner. So I believe average is 11, so roughly a 50-50 chance.
Yeah, the way that this works, I know we've talked a lot about, you know, we've been doing this show for almost 10 years now. Let's be honest. We've talked about a lot of bad games. And there is a point where an elegance of game design is appreciated, and it is not here. Because the way that they make the difficulty face means that there is never, for the player, a set number that you know that you then can be like told, oh, you're going to have to give a plus or a minus two.
Yeah.
Instead, you just sit there and look at your sheet and you're like, all right, I got a minus four, I guess. And then you're going to be told like, all right, for this one, you're looking for a 12. And you're like, all right, so I got to do an 8. All right. You never really get a good grasp on how good you are at something because you just get told random target numbers.
And I just looked it up. Average difficulty is a 10. Which means that, again, we're talking a game where the average chance of success is like 47 to 49%. If you are highly competent in the thing you are attempting to accomplish, and the difficulty of that thing is average, you will fail on average.
Well, it's hit or under. So 10 or less.
Yeah.
10 being the average of 3d6.
10 and
so...
a half is the average on 3d6.
No, it's just 10.
It's 10 and a half. Look it up.
Look it up.
Look it up. I'm pointing at you harder.
Ooh.
Both fingers. Oh, I got a toe in there.
Oh, yeah. I'm throwing the horns, baby. 2 months, Bender. I got you for 2 whole months. You mess with the bull, you get the horns.
So anyway, even if it is just 10, then that's 50-50, which is shitty for like, because keep in mind, to get to the point where you don't even have a penalty on any roll you're making with a skill you're called to make a roll on, you have to be at the third rank of proficiency. Technically fourth, because you start novice.
You have to be at the third, because it's untrained novice, certified is plus zero.
Okay, certified plus zero. So the third rank of a thing.
Yeah.
So if you are a certified or professional.
Certified.
Certified's the second rank. It goes zero CP.
NCPU. untrained, minus eight.
Ah.
Novice, minus four.
Okay,
certified,
sorry,
zero.
I didn't even know there was a U rank.
Yes.
I thought everyone counted as novices and everything.
No.
But anyway, okay, fine. Third rank and an average difficulty, 50-50 chance.
Yes.
And you're not going to have a third rank in almost anything that you start out in because of the shitty chance to learn stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, given the numbers you have, maybe a fourth of your skills will be at a certified.
Now, one thing I do appreciate about this game is that there are stat mods you can get. So technically, if you're forced to use like your strength on a stat roll and you have a bad strength, you might get a minus three to a minus one applied to your side of the roll. Or sorry, to the difficulty of the roll. So you have to roll lower. And if you have a super high stat, you may get a bonus to that. You may get to roll higher. But the way it works is, anytime you're called on to roll a skill, you can go through your list of statistics and pick two that you think are applicable and apply both of those bonuses or penalties as
well,
the DM assigns.
If the GM lets you.
If the GM lets you. But that's the way it's supposed to work. Is like, there, like, you need to climb this rope. And you're like, that sounds like strength and agility. I'm good at those. Or you can be like, well, I'll take a lot of time picking the locations. I'll be very observant and use my intelligence for this. That kind of thing. I thought that was kind of a neat, kind of fluid. It reminded me a little bit of White Wolf design.
But again, you have to have at least like a 14 in the stat for that to matter. So if you're like, I'll use my Strength for this. What's your strength? A 12. Then who gives a shit?
Yeah, and it's 15, actually. 15 and 16 get you a plus one.
Gugh.
And if you want to hear the weirdest thing to me, and I'm still not even fully sure I understand this, and maybe you can help me. When you're rolling your stats, your numbers aren't your numbers. So, for example, if you roll a 17 on your 3d6 roll for intelligence, it's an 18.
No.
And if you roll a 17, it's for your wits or health, or will or health, it's a 15.
No.
No? Is this something different? How does this
that
work?
That is
then?
Different.
Okay. That's fair. I have no idea. This table here, I've been unable to figure out what the fuck it means, but there's a table for
That's point by system.
Ah, okay.
It's sense. How many
it's
points you're
spending.
Spend
to get there. Okay. Yes. That makes a lot of sense. All right. Sorry. So many charts. Been a
there's
while.
There's a lot of charts.
Yeah.
Now, Jesus Christ. So in addition to the 3d6 roll under system, because there needs to be more stuff you can roll, once you start getting into combat, you will, of course, need to be rolling percentile dice for hit location and shit like that.
Mm-hmm, including all that cover stuff.
Yep.
Where if you hit the cover, a body part that's undercovered, and then you hit the cover.
The nice thing I will say about that is if you have... someone who is shooting out from cover, mm-hmm. and you shoot at them, instead of like a lot of games where they're like, oh, you roll on the generic hit location, and if you hit one of the things that's behind cover, you do nothing. Instead, they're like, oh, there's a different chart you roll on.
Yes.
There's the guy is fully outside of cover, guy is partially outside of cover, and that way, if you hit, because it already takes cover into account for how hard it is to hit someone,
mm-hmm.
so they're like, look, if you already hit, then we already took into account that cover was part of it. So you do hit him.
Yeah.
Just roll on this table so you only hit him in, like, the arms or the head.
And the table's somewhat worse, and it's not... Yeah.
Well, no. Honestly, looking at it, I was like...
You'd rather fire at people in cover?
No. Like, yeah, I'm saying if I was... because there's a bunch of different armor types. If you take one of them as just, I'm wearing clothes... and a bulletproof vest.
Right.
You cannot hit the body on a leaning out from cover.
Yeah.
So if someone shoots you and hits you while you are taking cover, while you are harder to hit, they will always hit you in the head or the arm.
Yep, that's true.
And you don't have any coverage there. Whereas, if you are just standing out in the open, then it goes from... like, oh yeah, they'll hit your head like 20% of the time to 3% of the time they will hit your head.
Right.
And most of the time they will hit you in the body where you have really good coverage.
Right. But does this balance out by how much easier it is to hit someone out of cover than in cover?
Depends on what weapon someone is using because...
Thank God!
Because every weapon has different columns
mm-hmm.
for the number you need to hit on a glancing chart to see how much damage you could do.
Right.
So, God, I hate this. Instead of the numbers going up,
yeah,
good numbers go down.
Yes.
Now, if I'm wearing clothes,
mm-hmm.
I have a plus 25 to the result if someone hits me.
Right.
Added onto that is a roll of a D, well, technically 9, because it's 0 to 9.
Right, okay.
You roll that. Add in whatever their armor is,
mm-hmm.
and then you check what weapon you are using versus what its number is. So let's say I have a medium pistol.
Okay.
I need to hit an 18 to a 20 in order to do light damage.
Okay.
Which means even with a, you know, a roll of a 0 on the D10, if I get nothing extra, if I hit you in clothes, I'm going to do... the max I can do with it, because it's 18 to 20 or 21 plus.
Right.
So if you get hit somewhere where you don't have any coverage, you're going to get fucked.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that makes sense. You don't really want to get shot where you don't have coverage.
Yeah. Which means generally you'd want to stand out with your bulletproof vest where it can take a hit, because a bulletproof vest is a 0. So if someone shoots you with a medium pistol and you roll a 9 mm-hmm. on that, it does nothing. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
So it's just weird to me.
Yes, it's very weird. The game itself is very weird. The whole thing with the team, where you have to make routine leadership roles when you're doing... Because one thing about this game is that it's done with variable timescale based on what you're trying to accomplish. So,
I did at least like that portion of it.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the game kind of has the feel where, at least for the early chapter, because later it just gets bogged down into a slog of combat and vehicle automatic weapon
fireballs. All of the charts that I mentioned, those are like... a sliver of the chart nonsense that goes on.
Yeah, the back half of the book is just an endless parade of charts that you can roll on for combat that looks like it would take forever and not be any fun. The early part of the book, each chapter feels like a whole new game. It uses some of the same parts, but it feels like they keep making up new games. Because it's like, okay, this is a role-playing game. You're going to pretend to be like a research scientist with a team of research scientists just researching what happened in VR to create this kind of new world order where Job is controlling a lot of the financial systems and so on. What does gameplay look like? Well, what you're going to want to do is create a big custom chart of things that the players might discover in four-hour research blocks all over town with various skills that they might wish to roll to do to see if they can do that.
Yeah, the game breaks things down into, like, there are research portions, flashpoints, encounters.
Yes.
And all of these various things where each of them have their own charts of things you might be able to find or do.
I love how many of the encounters and flashpoints are non-interactive. They feel very board gamey. Where, like, you can run around gathering information the way you would like to. You can say, like, well, I would like to research the local, I don't know, newspaper archives to see if there was ever a birth record for the name of the guy we're trying to track down in the cyberware verse right in town. You can do that kind of thing where you roll history check or something. You can kind of pick and choose. The encounters and flashpoints oftentimes are things like a member of your team was kidnapped. You have 8 hours until they get tortured to death or give something up. Yeah. You're like, wouldn't I be able to control that in some way by, like, staying near them or...
Yeah, I don't think you understand. My team, we were all together. What happened there? Someone showed up and grabbed him and you weren't able to do anything.
Yeah, oh.
Well, all right.
That's a weird event to have happen in a game. There's also a lot of flashpoints that are like people will show up, but the game isn't advanced enough in the time scale yet for them to like try and kill you. So you're like a bunch of cyber cultists show up and they make fun of you.
Yeah. Well, what happens? Some guys from the shop appear and they're like, hey, you suck. And then they like shove you and leave.
Because it'll be like, well, it depends on what point of the adventure you're in. Yeah, technically, you're going to need to fight those cultists of Job at some point, but right now, they're not aggressive to you. They're just following a different agenda, and they don't even know who you are. But you may just run into them onto the street, in which case they will be weirdos, and so they will make fun of you.
One of the weird things is this game also has a system for reputation.
Yes, so I was about to get into that, yeah.
So there's a lot of things where it's like, oh, if you did happen to meet some government agents on the street and people saw you harassing them, then you would lose reputation because everyone's like, hey, why are those assholes being mean to these guys?
Yes.
Or if you, like, find a celebrity somewhere and you embarrass yourself in front of them, you lose reputation. Like, if I go pull my pants down in front of Paul Rudd, all of a sudden I get -8 reputation.
Oh, Jennifer Lopez caught me trying to turn in a scratcher that didn't have a win on it.
Oh, no.
Now she's going to tell her friends.
That's going to be front page news.
Oh, no. Someone linked my tweet where I said I'd rather have dinner with Kanye West than $250,000 to Kanye West. Oh, I'm losing all my reputation.
Aww.
And he responded with, take the $250,000. That's stupid.
You're an idiot.
But yeah, and that can lead to things like members of your team resigning in disgust.
Yeah.
If you do anything shameful, if you fail a skill hard enough.
Oh, yeah.
A member of your team will be like, fuck you and fuck this, and they'll just leave.
Yeah, if you fail so bad, you're like, oh, I was like 10 away from even hitting what would be a success.
Yeah.
Then at that point, they're like, all right, you suck. I'm out.
You're full on incompetent and I want none of this.
All right. Well, this is a clown show. I'm out.
And I'm like, dude, you by definition have worse stats and skills than me.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, granted, if you happen to roll one of your supporting characters and they come out way better than you, you should probably play as that character.
Yeah. The weird thing with the supporting characters is if you do the building method, you have automatically just 6 less points to build with.
Yep, instead of 54, you start with 48.
But if you do the random, it's the same shit. You just still random roll. So you can be like, all right, I made my primary character. They're kind of balls. Here's my secondary character. I randomly rolled real good for them, and they're way better than me. Why are they subordinate?
Yeah.
The only other thing is you don't get those, like, professional slash expert or certified slash professional options.
Yeah, you start with all base skills.
Yeah, so you can't just jump the queue at all.
Yeah, but they can end up with way, but even in the build mode, that 4d6 is easily able to swing more than 6 points in one direction or another.
Oh yeah,
so it was not outside the realm of possibility for your 3 henchmen to start with better stats than you.
Yes, indeed.
But yeah, they can resign, or they can get shot or disappeared or kidnapped. If they do, you have to wait until you hit certain reputation milestones for them to like show up and restock themselves into your squad.
Yeah, you get
again.
A new dude.
You get a new dude who's just like, hey, I'm up to speed, carry on.
I'm your new guy.
I'm your new guy. I don't know, Jonesy. And, what are we doing? Are we researching?
I'm a cat. I'm Jonesy the cat.
Jonesy the cat. Are we, researching libraries, or am I getting disgusted with you? Which one are we doing today?
You're getting disgusted with how I search a library.
So noisy.
Dick first. That's how I search a library.
I've got one of them dowsing rod ding-dongs.
I've got the Dewey Decimal ding-dong. You know what I'm saying?
The quadruple D.
Let's see. We talked about combat. That's trash.
Health. We got.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Okay, this game doesn't have health points. It has a knockout value.
Yes. And the knockout value is, I believe, a percentile die roll that
it
you
is
make.
Based on a cross-section of your highest combat skill rating.
Yes.
And your will. Mm-hmm. And you find the chart for that, and, you know, maybe you'll be somewhere where you're like, oh, I don't really have it very high.
I'm a scientist. Why would I have a super high combat rating?
I mean, the thing is, if you're a scientist, you have no skill slots in any of the combat. So you are untrained, which means you probably have, at best, a knockout value of 4.
Mm-hmm.
Notice many guns will do upwards of 100 or 1,000 damage.
So if you get shot with anything, even grazed by a 22...
The way the knockout works, if someone were to come up to you and punch you, you would almost... You'd have like a 25% chance of just going, ah!
And just collapsing meekly onto the ground.
However, even just a novice sort of skill in something will like bump you up to a 24. Mm-hmm. So... it just gives you such a huge bump between untrained and novice that, like, the first thing you do in any game, if you were playing someone who didn't have any combat skills, is to immediately just be like, I spend the beginning of the game going to a gun range and I just shoot, and let me know when I get a skill roll.
This game doesn't really have XP per se. Instead, it's trying to do a kind of realistic thing where it's like, hey, if you go to class or some crap, you can make skill rolls all the time. There's nothing stopping you from mastering every skill in this game beyond time and effort and random
chance. The fact that you never will.
Yeah. Time and random chance are the only obstacles.
Yeah. So, you know, they have different time frames. Like, if you are going to class, then it ends up being like you have to take pretty much an entire, like, couple months worth of class to get it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do, like, on the job training, like, oh, I'm in a firefight in, you know, my first day, then maybe I'll get a job training learning chance from that for guns. Or, of course, you can try and do VR. But
VR is just one chapter of this Lawnmower Man role-playing game.
Well, the other problem being, every time you try and do a VR thing, if you don't have any VR skills, you're probably going to come out of it and be insane.
Yes.
To the end of your days, you will have a psychotic break and just be like, well, that was me.
Even if you just go in there for fun, this game's like, yeah, VR is fucking terrifying. It's basically digital hell.
Yeah. The VR space is called the VR Vortex.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are in the Vortex and you try and do anything that isn't just like, I look at the files in the computer I am hooked up to.
Yes.
If you're like, I try to connect to a different computer, or I, God forbid, try to, like, fight someone in VR space, oh, baby, you're going to either get just absolutely brain wrecked and come out of it psychotic, or you'll be like, oh, a guy poked me and I fell out of VR because my knockout value in VR is untrained, because of course it is. So I have a knockout value in VR of 3.
Now, you may be wondering, the story of the movie featured Joe being given non-aggressive learning drugs for quite a while until he started to develop like psychic talents and realized he was moving too quickly. And then he was forcibly given combat drugs instead. They were tricked onto him by Timms and the big bad guy.
The director.
Which made him both more significantly psychotic, but also much more aggressive and much more dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
This is represented in the game by the types of NPC enemies that you may be forced to fight, including the aggression soldier, which is like the most dangerous soldier there is, and the slightly less dangerous, oh, just pump him full of the red juice and see what happens, psycho soldier.
Ah, the psycho soldier.
Because they have gone full psycho.
Yep, they have a complete break, and so they just... Anytime they do anything, they have to make a roll to see if they lose it.
Yeah, and if they lose it, they just try and kill everyone around them until they fall unconscious.
Yeah, which is why they definitely get sent out into the field on missions.
Constantly. It's very silly, but also the fact that that's supposed to be what Job was is a little telling, because Job's whole deal was like, even in the very end, he was like, no, you must save that boy I like, instead of like, I'll kill everything.
Well, it's because he made his roll.
He made a roll, yes. But why don't we talk really briefly before we get into the wrap-ups about what the world of the Lawnmower Man role-playing game is?
Well, it's Earth, but not the Earth you might be familiar with.
Well, basically...
What is a role-playing game?
It's a fun tickle.
It's a friendly game, but not like a board game.
It's an imagination game. It's like a board game, but you control all the pieces.
You're the board.
Take your pick.
And your friend is going to move some figurines around your body, your hot, naked body.
That is a different role-playing game from the ones I have usually played.
Well, let me show you my secret role-play dungeon.
My safe word is half-orc.
The world is post-Lawnmower Man.
But post, like, the stuff, specifically the exact stuff that happens at the end of Lawnmower Man.
Yes. So, Cyber Job has escaped into the data net, because it's 1993 and they have yet to decide on a name for what the internet is.
Yes, and his goal is to become a techno-messiah and convert everybody into the glorious VR future.
Now, he has taken over a lot of, like... financial things, and he's fucked up a lot of computers, but governments and institutions realized he was doing this and just immediately unplugged their shit from the net.
Yeah, so most computers now at existing financial, governmental, military installations and so on are entirely non-networked.
Yeah, so we, in the world of the Lawnmower Man RPG, it basically just set things back to pre-internet for a lot of transactional things.
Yes. Now, the computers are nicer, because you can still go into virtual reality on these computers. It's just that it's local virtual reality. It's more video gamey and less visit every computer in the universe on the internet.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, you still have day-to-day life where, like, yeah, your average person doesn't know or give a shit that Cyber Job exists.
Which I find
and
hilarious.
Has an internet computer.
Yeah.
It's not like governments put out a warning. They're like, hey, don't go on the internet. There's a weird cyber murder man in there. They were just like, let's quietly unplug our computers.
And also all the bank computers. And also all the military and police and government computers. And you know what? I don't think anyone will notice.
Online banking, no one will notice.
Well, this is the whole thing with like conspiracy theories, right? That when people are like, oh yeah, Sandy Hook was completely a conspiracy. It was 5,000 actors put it all on. And I'm like, you know how you can tell that isn't real? Because 5,000 people can't shut the fuck up.
True facts. If
5,000 people do something, 4,999 of them will tell someone about it. And the last one died that day. That's how you can. But here we see one where it's like the military at every computer in the government, and every post office computer, every bank computer, every ATM in the world, they're all offline entirely. And we had to disseminate that through the millions of employees of those those.
Well, it's
businesses.
Not even that they're like, oh, nobody knows that Cyber Job exists. The book is like, nobody cares.
I know, that's your average. No one gives a shit.
Your average person going about their daily life is like, yeah, sometimes when I get online to go look at some boobies, some guy shows up and he's like, I'm the Cyber Messiah. And I'm like, get out of the way. I'm trying to look at some tits here. And that's about it.
I love that the best that Cyber Job could come up with is to be like a task bar now.
He's
that fucking purple chimp. That's
his bonsai buddy is Job. Job is basically a pop-up ad that exists now where you're online and he's like, have you ever thought about winning big at cyber games? And you're like, no.
Click the evil government conspiracy man to unlock free prizes. Also to refinance your home.
Would you like a bigger penis? Where would you like it? How about an escrow?
Do you support George W. Bush? Click here to give your opinion. It's some garbage. And I guess this would be in the mid-90s, so it'd be Clinton.
Yes. I guess you could have it be regular Bush and not W.
Yeah, I know, but that's probably, because thing is supposed to be set shortly after.
Yeah.
Shortly after it's probably around 1995, 1996, so it could be both of those. Take your pick. One of those two presidents.
Take your pick of whatever president.
Yeah. So in that universe, Cyber Job, knowing that he can't get into the major military hardwire systems he would have needed to, like, enforce a takeover of the world, is instead trying to win by recruiting an army of brainwashed cultists.
Yeah.
And he is using he gets as many VR scientists as he can, because anytime anyone goes into VR, they're just his toys now, if he wants them to be. Like, you can go into VR and potentially accomplish things, because he's still just one guy.
Oh, yeah. Like, you can go into a non-connected VR, regular VR, do some training programs, whatever, or you can do the VR connected to the internet thing, and, you know, probably you're fine.
Yeah.
But if Cyber Job happens to find you, he's like, hey, buddy, you're mine.
Yeah. So he has an army of VR researchers and instructors, plus just a bunch of random chuds that he pulls up off the street.
Well, anyone who believes in the thing where he's like, oh, yeah, VR is the future, and this guy's definitely my messiah now. And he tries to get, like, people that are in positions of power already.
Yes.
So he's like, oh, I want to get someone that's like in government to be my dude so that, you know, he'll go plug that Ethernet cable in for me.
Well, it's funny, they never mentioned that should be his ultimate goal. That mostly his goal seems to just be rabble rouse and cause trouble. But you'd think his big goal would be like, yeah, just get some Cat 5 and go connect the Pentagon back up for me, would you?
Somebody go put a fucking Wi-Fi router over at the Pentagon, would you?
You know those free AOL CDs? That's all me, baby.
I'm just spitting these out.
I'm going to get them at some point with one of these free AOL. There's got to be some number of hours I can offer.
One guy at the Pentagon is going to be like, 10,000 free hours. Well, I got to try. And as soon as he does, baby, it's mine.
You ever see one of those ones that offered more hours? And it was like 1 month of free AOL or this many hours. And it was like, that's more hours than there are in a month.
Yeah.
They only lasted for like a week before someone realized, and they just made 2 month free ones instead. But there were a few out there that were like, we offer 6,000 hours this month of free AOL. And you're like, dude.
You can't. That's
There's like a little less than 700 hours most months.
Come on, man. Don't do this.
You're making yourself a fool.
You have played yourself.
So anyway, that's his goal. What are you doing? Well, it depends very largely on that random role you make to see which one of your jobs you are.
Yeah, because you might be fighting dudes, you might be researching things, whatever. I mean, that's the point of the supporting characters. It's supposed to be like, if I rolled a military guy, I can still have like a VR scientist as a supporting character so that I can still do stuff.
Yeah, that's not necessarily what the game recommends. It usually is like your team is your colleagues. So if you're a military guy, it makes more sense if your colleagues are like your military subordinates or something. But you can do it that way. You can be like, every player in the group is trying to cover every base. Or you're like, I'm a military man, so I've got three military men. And then the next guy's like, I'm a scientist, so I've got a team of nerds.
Not even other scientists, just nerds.
Nerds, regular nerds. It's still the 90s.
I've got three boxes of nerds.
And it's still the
delicious.
90s, so we're allowed to use sexy mascots.
This one's Grape.
Look at the tits on Grape. Really makes you question some things.
Yeah.
Science. Glavin. But yeah, the book does, as John mentioned very early in the episode, the book does mention that, like, obviously if you're running with four players and everyone's got a whole different thing that they're like, I'm a private investigator, I'm military, I'm police, it's going to be hard to do an adventure that makes any fucking sense, especially when not only do they not really need to interact with each other to accomplish their goals, but they especially don't need to interact with each other if they have a team of competent NPC helpers that can just help them accomplish whatever their own dumb goal is.
Yeah, thankfully no one is competent in this game, yeah. So...
So you can instead play, like, okay, no one has a team. There's just four players, and they are the team.
Yes. And you just go, you got assembled by fill in the blank to go figure out what's going on.
I mean, obviously, you don't want to play that way if you want to use the regular adventure that's printed in this book, because it's set for having a team of, like, 12 people.
Yeah.
And you kind of wonder what happens when you hit those flashpoint rolls. It's like someone is killed or kidnapped on your team when you're playing without a team of NPCs.
Well,
I guess you just skip it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You just skip it.
Yeah. And the very best thing of all is that there's a counter on that ball.
All these nuts. Got them.
All right, so you want to get into your favorites and least favorites, because, I mean, we could probably keep talking, but...
No, but we've been talking for a while.
Yeah, I think we're good. So, what's your favorite thing about Lawnmower Man, the role-playing game? The virtual reality role-playing game.
The virtual reality role-playing game. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I think probably the best thing in there... I want to say probably it's the team idea.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Because at that point, you're like, well, if... Because you have to randomly roll what your background is, if it so happens that, like, oh, all of us rolled military, we have no science guys, you can be like, oh, I'll just have a team of science guys. These are my science nerds. They're military science nerds, yeah, and I bring them with me.
Yeah. Everywhere I go, I've got my three nerds who come with me.
Yeah, it's just me in the Big Bang Theory.
Someone please kidnap them.
Someone please murder and kidnap these three.
They will not stop with the sexual harassment.
And you know,
it's the 90s and it's the military, so that shit flies a lot farther than you'd think. But still, even now, even for then, this is bad.
It's bad even for the early 90s. And that's how you know it's bad.
I keep being like, we have to research Cyber Job. And they're like, yes, sir, upskirt radio-controlled cars.
Damn it. Nerds.
Stop that. Yes, sir, we bugged the women's dorm. Oh, now you're revenge of the nerds. Wait, have nerds been bad throughout all of history?
Wait a minute, are nerds just the real bullies?
Is it just another fancy word for pervert?
Yes.
Damn it.
But yeah, it's nice that you can create a team. They do have a giant list of pre-generated support characters. So if you don't want to go through, because making a supporting character is literally the same as making a regular character. If you don't want to make a character four times in a row, you can be like, all right, I'll just pick some of these dudes in the back.
Take some of these guys. I grabbed like three guys. It's fine.
Yeah, I just went to the back, found three guys, and I was like, good.
So your favorite thing about the game is the team system.
Yes, I like that. It's a nice idea.
Okay.
What is yours?
I mean, I'm probably going to go with the VR training systems, just because at least it kind of resembles something that was present in the film.
Yep.
Which is what I was really looking for with this licensed game that's got art from the movie in every page and the cover is the same as the cover of the DVD box. I was kind of hoping for some of the movie to be present here.
Well, the problem with the movie is...
Oh, gee, what is the problem with the movie?
No, the problem being that if you put in exactly what was in there, it'd be like, wait, do I have access to what was in the movie? I immediately also become Cyber Job.
That guy had the right idea. Look, I want to become a cowboy, and I want to turn this place into a ranch.
It's just one of those things where the book has, like, psychic powers that you can get.
That's right. They are in there. God, we can even mention that.
Yeah. And, you know, if you want to, you can create a psychic vortex so that you can treat the real world like virtual reality.
Yeah, that's their way of explaining away the parts of the comeuppance phase of the film, where, like, he'll be... create a psychic vortex and then use his power to set the priest on digital fire.
Yeah, he's like, when I disintegrate a dude by turning him into weird virtual balls, is like, yeah, he had a psychic vortex, whatever.
And brother, when I disintegrate a dude by turning him into weird virtual balls, I disintegrate a dude by turning him into weird virtual balls.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So yeah, I'm going to go with the virtual, the VR training programs, because again, I wanted to see a little bit more of the stuff from the film or the themes of the film in any way present here. Mm-hmm. And the fact that the very first thing you encounter in the game is the opposite of the film.
Yeah.
Where the smarter you are, the more likely you are to be able to do any of this.
Yep.
It was nice to see something like that in there. What would you say is your least favorite thing?
Ooh, baby. There's so many awful things in here.
So many charts.
But it's the combat chart for me.
Yeah.
Where it's like, did you roll a glancing blow with your gun? Mm-hmm. It did one damage. Okay. What if I barely got above glancing? You did 7,000 damage. I'm like, what the fuck is this? How do you do that? I mean, I like that they at least put all the charts in the back so you don't have to go hunting for them. But you look at it and you're just like, okay, I shoot you in the head for a glancing wound, 7 points. Or if I hit you in the forehead, it's 2,000. You have a critical wound. Okie dokie.
Well, 2,000 is enough to kill everybody. It'll completely obliterate every single person's possible knockout roll value.
I shoot you in the shoulder. Was it a minor roll? 21 damage. Was it even slightly higher than that? 500. Why? Yeah.
I think by extension, the knockout roll is also a really bad thing. Because it's so low and it so forces you into taking a combat role class.
Well, yeah, you're like, even if you are a combat guy and you're like, yo, I got like a knockout value of 60. Okay, great.
Anything that
it
hits
doesn't
you.
Matter still.
Yeah.
Unless you get glanced, nothing is going to matter.
Also, why does this game have armor systems? I mean, why do we even do? I mean, I get it. Again, we're moving into the future beyond the movie, but no one in the movie wore bulletproof vests.
No, but
no one in the movie even got shot, except for that one dude who got shot very towards the very end when Terry got shot.
Yeah,
it's just so weird. While I took the virtual reality training programs as one of my favorite things in this, I'm going to take the fact that VR itself is contained to a single chapter of a 12 chapter book, and that it's just horse shit to actually interact with is my least favorite thing. It's called the fucking virtual reality role-playing game, and it strongly discourages you from going anywhere near virtual reality.
Yeah, it's true.
It should be taking the very first opportunity to thrust you in there so you can play around in the weird VR space and get into crazy descriptions. There's even a section at the start of that VR chapter where it's like, hey, VR can look like anything you want. If you want to look like medieval knights versus dinosaurs, that's fine. I'm like, you wouldn't, because there's only three things to do. In the virtual space, there's only three things to do.
Nothing.
Digital styles. You can look up fucking websites. You can look through files that other computers have. You can train on yourself, or you can attempt to hack other people.
Yep.
That's it. So they're getting into a fight is like, I try to hack you. I try to hack you. That's all it is.
Yeah, I mean, there's an entirely different combat system for VR.
That was a big part of what my complaint from earlier was, that it felt like every chapter in the early going was just like, here's a whole new book. Here's the information gathering, the role-playing game. Here's information gathering acting upon, the role-playing game.
Hmm.
Here's virtual reality, the role-playing game. Don't you it. You'll die.
Yeah, not really, as I mentioned before, an elegance of system design, because nothing is really compatible with everything else.
Yeah, nothing uses the same tools. It doesn't have a unified engine to it.
Yeah, there's no unified idea behind it, what you're going to do.
Yeah, so I'm gonna say the virtual reality chapter is my least favorite, just because like it feels very much like a don't do this and not like a highlight. It's kind of like how the most common complaint you hear about Dungeons and Dragons, which is very few players ever actually end up fighting a dragon.
Yeah.
They're just too high level and no one gets to them. It's the same thing here, where you are never going to be good enough to bother virtual reality-ing.
Yeah, well.
There you go.
Shame.
Would you play this?
No. It's terrible, and I hate it. It's the worst? No.
Okay.
What about you?
No, of course not. I don't like games. I mean, just the other day, I was hanging out with some friends playing Shadowrun, and because of what I do nowadays, that one of them kept apologizing. He was just like, hey, I know you're like a lot of like story games and you don't like super crunchy stuff, so I'm really sorry. And I was like, dude, Shadowrun's fine. It's crunchy and bad, and you're playing second edition, but still, it's fine.
Now you mention it, though.
Yes.
This does have also the Shadowrun problem of, if you're the VR scientist guy and you have VR skills, and you're like, I want to go in VR. No one else has those. So you end up with the Decker problem with virtual reality in this.
Yeah. But no, this is in that beyond the pale level of stupid crunch and memorization necessary that I would never touch.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, it's got nothing to do with its source material, so bothers me.
Oh, it's got plenty to do with its source material.
I guess. Like on
paper. That it is a sequel to it.
Yeah. But a sequel in a way that, like, a shitty sequel, but you'd be like, oh, right.
You mean a sequel.
The first movie was about this one thing. This movie takes that name, and it's about something else entirely.
Yeah, no, it's about the next step of it.
Mm-hmm.
Job already became Cyber Job,
yeah,
and he took over a lot of systems, and now we're going to the next part.
I suppose, but I feel like if I wanted to play through that, I'd want to make a game about people who actually venture into virtual reality and try and fight him on his own ground, because it's the virtual reality role-playing game. It says that right there on the cover, but it isn't. It's the cop simulator role-playing game where you play as groups of cops and you fight cultists.
That's fine.
That bothers me.
That's fine.
Okay, great. So I wouldn't play
it. You can be bothered.
All right, I'm a little bothered.
All right.
Okay. I'm going to calm down now.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. This has been an episode.
This has been an episode.
This has been a happening.
This is the happening.
Mm-hmm. So, as always, thank you so much for listening. If you want to hear more, we are going to make characters, and we are going to discuss the process of making characters in greater detail right over there at that there, patreon.com/systemmastery.
Yes, indeed.
There's gold on that website.
Give us a dollar, we'll give you some shitty characters. That's what we say here the time.
There's something like 508 instances of bonus content available at this point, counting all the various types of bonus content that we've generated. So if you want to access a treasure trove of additional content to listen to when you're stuck at the office or on the treadmill or whatever it is that you're doing.
Yeah, did someone make you go back into a physical office,
mm-hmm.
but it's like you in one room and no one else is there? Hey, you could listen to us out loud, swearing.
We'll help
you. We could say poop and fuck. Two equal swear words.
Also, that's the last name of my bonus character.
Poop and fuck.
Yeah. Otto von Poop and fuck. That's my guy. I got to go change some things.
Hold on, I got to...
But that's the $1 level will get you access to the System Mastery bonus content. The $2 level gets you the Star Wars stuff. The $5 level gets you everything, the Afterthought and the TV Mastery. So many extra bonus podcasts right out there just for you. Available right now. Why not go support us? Patreon.com/System Mastery. Or just leave us a nice review somewhere.
Yeah,
anywhere.
Like,
I don't care.
These guys are nice.
Yeah. Write about us on a bathroom.
Go to Yelp.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just put on the Wendy's Yelp review that we were real good at podcasting.
That'll be real helpful. Thank you. So, thanks for doing that. You're all the best. And we'll see you again real soon with yet more exciting System Mastery content. Until then, you all have a really good one. Good night.